This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
I can like guess it. Maybe the other thing, I guess, for men's issues, when I was younger, I was like 22, so like 5 years ago, maybe, my brother tried to commit suicide.
Okay.
And so it kind of made me like understand, and it was over like a breakup, like that sort of thing.
Okay. Yeah.
And so it made me realize that if men don't get the correct information, it can kind of mess
up. And were you close with your brother?
Oh, I'm really close with him. Mm. He's like one of the best. My brothers are like the best people I know. Mm. Like seriously, I couldn't survive without him.
Mm. I think probably that might have had a bigger impact, you know.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, because he's my little brother, so he's like 2 years younger than me, and he's just.
See, that sounds like a real.
Yeah, he's
reason to.
Yeah, and he's good now. We'll kind of joke about it now. He's like, I can't believe I did that over a mid. We'll kind of joke, but I have five brothers, so it's like a big family.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, no, it's.
And doing this stuff kind of made me understand, because I didn't understand why he did that. I was like, what is wrong with you? Like over a chick? Like what is, you know? And then it was. It kind of made me understand it, like, more, what he went through.
Did you want to did you want to help men like your brother? Is that what, maybe one of the reasons you get slighted? Because you realize that he was in a certain fragile state, and you wanted other men who were in that same position not to go through what he went through?
Yeah. No, seriously, because, I don't know, that was really hard to like watch, to be honest.
Yes.
But he's like better now, so I don't try to make it like a big thing. But yeah. You know, back then, yeah.
Mm. No. It's good that you told me that, because I always try to understand where everyone's coming from. Like everyone's got motivation.
Mm-hmm.
It's better to, like, for me to understand where you're coming from, like throughout this conversation and beyond, and for the public to understand. I think this stuff is important because people will make, if you don't give them something, they'll make the assumption. Do you know what I mean?
Like my trauma or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in a way, that was traumatic for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, but I was more actually, I was more mad than I was like, I guess, I was like, what the hell? Like, why would you do that? You know?
Yeah.
But.
It was a calamity for you.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what that means, but.
It was a big tragic event.
Yeah. Yeah.
It put you through emotional turmoil.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess at the time.
Mm.
So.
No, for sure. I understand. So I think you mentioned Islam, and you said, I don't know whether I'm be a Muslim or not. Are you a Christian or what?
I'm a Catholic.
Okay.
So, but yeah. I'm not a real Catholic, I think, because every time I say I'm Catholic, everybody says I'm not real.
Mm.
So I guess I'm a fake Catholic. I don't know. I do have questions about the Mary stuff. I do have questions about it.
Yeah.
I would say I still... So I was trying to figure out what religion I was a couple of years ago. I was like 22. And I put all of the religions like down. Now, I'm not saying this is the best way to come to a conclusion. So don't say this like you should try that. This is just how I thought. At the time, I felt like I had to pick between Christian, Catholic, or Jewish. Islam, I felt like was too different. You know, I just was like, I couldn't see myself, you know, and it seemed like at the time there was a lot of like Muslim, like I would say it's probably propaganda in hindsight. So I thought maybe like, it seems like people are leaving those countries. So maybe like if I was God, I would make countries that followed God, like do better.
Mm.
That's how I thought. Then I had learned about Jewish people and honestly, the things that you had to do to join that religion, I was like, I just don't want it that bad. I don't. And then I was Christian or Catholic, and I picked Catholic because I noticed how woke all the Christians were, and I felt like with no structure, like the idea of people reading the Bible and coming to their own conclusions, it sounds nice, but I'd seen it in practice. And like I'd been in a church that was Christian, and it was like, They were pushing the BLM stuff, you know, and I was like, what is up with all these Christian churches hanging gay flags? And I attributed that to them reading the Bible and deciding for themselves.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So Catholics seem to make the most sense to me. The one thing, and this is why I say I guess I'm not a real Catholic because I ask questions, it confuses me or I noticed a pattern where people tend to elevate women above where they are. So like we kneel to women in proposals, and they used to do that with kings. They used to kneel to kings, and the women came in and said, kneel to me. And then all the guys did it. Simps. And I wonder sometimes if Catholics did the same thing with Mary.
Of course.
I don't know. And that's why
Mother of God.
I'm not a scholar. Yeah. So don't, please. All the Catholics get so mad at me.
Yeah.
Catholics still makes more sense to me than the Christians, because I go to the Christian churches and there's all this woke stuff. I mean, I went to one and they're like, he's like on the floor, like shouting. I'm like, what are you? No offense, blessing. It's just, that's weird to me. I'm like, what are you doing? You know? So I like the like structure of the Catholic Mass. I like that it's been like the same over time. I question the Mary stuff a little bit, but I wouldn't say I'm like a overly religious. Makes sense.
I think, look, religion is a way that you consider yourself when you die, right? You're going to have some kind of a log that you hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
When you die, right? So religion is like the log that you hold on to in a sea or an ocean after you die, and you want the right one to keep you afloat. Okay, you're not looking, when you're looking at religion, you shouldn't be looking at that which is going to serve your interests. Mm-hmm. It's like religion is not a butler, like it's here to help you and serve you in that way. When someone is looking for religion, effectively what they're trying to do is look for truth.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the truth can be something which people don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And so the first thing I would, not just for you, but for anybody who's looking for truth, it doesn't matter how different or similar that mm-hmm. truth looks, or how weird or strange or mm-hmm. it may appear. If the truth is coming from a particular direction, and it is the truth, then if one is sincere, then they'll follow the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Islam, look, if you look at Catholicism is Christianity. Obviously, Christianity is broken into different sects, and Catholicism and Protestantism are the two major sects.
Mm.
The third one being Orthodox Christianity.
Yeah, I was about
right?
to say.
Orthodox,
like the only other one, I think really hasn't gone off the rails.
It's probably more so than Catholicism, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I would definitely agree. They're like a little bit more strict, I guess.
Well, I mean, once again, this is my observation as a Muslim. I think that Orthodox Christians, whether they're Orientalist or Oriental Orthodox, like in Egypt, where I'm originally from, they have Oriental Orthodox Church, whether they're Greek Orthodox or whether they're Russian Orthodox or whatever kind of Orthodox, Ethiopian Orthodox, all the above, they focus heavily on the basically how the Church Fathers done things and how. So tradition is a big part of their religion, more so, I would say, than Catholicism, although Catholicism does obviously believe in that as well. And
well, we changed a bunch of stuff. I found this out the other day. We changed a bunch of stuff in the 70s.
Yeah.
Oh, I figured you would know. You seem like the scholar. So I was like, you probably know more than me.
In the 70s, I don't know exactly what you're talking about, Catholicism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they changed. They used to not let women be altar servers.
Oh,
they changed that. They changed.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it used to always be Latin Mass, and I guess they switched that.
I think that was way before, but I mean, the thing is, there's a few things. Like, one of the major ones is the theory of evolution.
Mm-hmm.
You've had different opinions on that.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, what the Pope says is from God in Catholicism. But obviously, he has to say it in his magisterium. He can't just say it walking around. So that's one thing. You'll find that many things that Catholics believed in the past, they don't no longer believe.
Mm-hmm.
For example, there was a big controversy in the 4th century with Augustine because he believed that a child that hadn't been baptized, a baby that hadn't been baptized, would go to hell. And this was the Catholic belief up until quite recently, and then they changed that as well. So there is good evidence of a change in verdicts and pronouncements and stuff mm-hmm. like that in Catholic faith. But more so, I would say, with the whole of Christianity, the main thing that's been changed is the Bible itself.
Mm.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this is what we would say, because you were saying, you mentioned something key, which is that you like things staying the same.
Mm-hmm.
All right, or something, a proof of something being true is that it stayed the same.
Yeah.
Now, if you look at the beliefs of the Christians from the 1st century to the 3rd century, the 4th century, that hasn't stayed the same. There's a clear development in the Christology, in the theology of the Christian people.
So I have a question. Would the Christian, because this is what happens to me sometimes,
yeah.
people will come on my show and they'll say things.
Yeah, and the kiss.
No. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, then. Yeah. Now, obviously, I would you say you're a religious scholar, or like you at least debated a lot?
No, I'm a comparative religionist. So I do comparative religion.
Okay.
Yeah, I could just state the position of Islam, if that makes better sense for you guys.
So
instead of speaking about Christianity.
No. You can. That's not what I was going to say. I was going to say, I asked a Christian, like, scholar person, would they agree with you on that?
Of course not. A Christian would say the Trinity has always been, the idea of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has always been what Christians have believed in from the beginning, mm-hmm. or even what Abraham believed in, what the Jews believed in. Don't mm-hmm. forget, I mean, the Bible is comprised of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the Old Testament, you have characters like Abraham, Noah, Moses, etc. They came before Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so the question is, what did they believe? Did they believe in 3 in 1 and 1 in 3? A Christian may say, yes, actually they did believe in that, even though they didn't spell it out in any elaborative detail in the mm-hmm. Old Testament. They'll say, yes, they did believe that. We will say, where's the evidence for this? That's mm-hmm. that's how the conversation would go. Where's the evidence for this? They'll say they'll bring some kind of evidence, but there's nothing in the Old Testament that would indicate, the Hebrew Bible, for example, that's what the Jews call it, that would indicate 3 co-eternal, co-equal mm-hmm. persons. And if it was so clear, then why are the Jews not believing that? Because remember, the Hebrew Bible is something that the Jews and the Christians both believe in. There's not one sect of Judaism that believes in the Trinity. And they had the most access to this book for thousands of years. And so where Muslims and Jews would agree is on the idea of God, that it's only one God. Mm-hmm. And you got to ask yourself, what makes more sense? Do you believe in one God that is the creator of the heavens and the earth? Or do you believe that Jesus himself is God, that he is unlimited, he's all-powerful, all that kind of thing? Which one makes more sense to you? Mm-hmm.
So I have a question. Do you guys believe that Jesus was crazy then? Because then wouldn't that... Oh, you're nodding, so yeah.
No.
Because he would be crazy then because he was going around saying he was God.
So that's the thing. We wouldn't agree that he was going around saying that he was God. Mm-hmm. Where we differ with the Jews and agree with the Christians.
Okay.
So we agree with the Jews. Muslims agree with the Jews in so much as we say that there's only one God worthy of worship. And that's the creator of the heavens and the earth. It's not a man. It's not a woman. It's not a holy ghost. It is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And that God is all powerful, all knowledgeable, etc., etc. Where we would agree with the Christians and disagree with the Jews is that actually there was this man called Jesus Christ, who we consider to be a prophet. As the book of Acts mentions, it says that he's a man amongst men that was sent with wonders and miracles and signs that God did through him. Mm-hmm. So we believe that God chose Jesus in his time to deliver the message that there's only one God worthy of worship. Mm-hmm. We don't believe that he ever said that I am God or worship me. Even if you look at the New Testament, you won't find him really elaborating upon this. In fact, there are verses to the opposite of this. Mm-hmm. For example, in the book of John, chapter 17, verse 3, mm-hmm. it says that there's only one true God, which is the Father, and that Jesus was sent to him. I by the finger of God cast out devils. I by the Spirit of God... Mm-hmm. So, such and such, I by my own self can do nothing. Jesus is saying this himself. I by my own self can do nothing. It's a verse in the Bible, in the New Testament. So what we're saying is that it doesn't indicate that Jesus himself was going around and saying he was God. We believe that historically, what we can find about Jesus is that really he was a prophet, he was a Messiah, he did miracles and all this kind of thing, but he wasn't God. That was a Roman invention that was put in place. Mm-hmm. That's the idea. So we wouldn't call him a liar.
So you think in Rome, they invented that he was God?
So in the beginning, what happened is that Christianity was a persecuted religion in Rome, mm-hmm. right? So the Roman Empire is where Christianity was. Mm-hmm. And in the beginning, they were a persecuted minority. They were being persecuted by all kinds of people, right? Up until the 3rd or the 4th century, you had this guy called Constantine. Okay, he was the emperor at the time. He had a dream. Okay, he had a dream with a cross and all that kind of thing. And he became a Christian. Okay. Mm-hmm. Even though Christianity had been a minority religion, mm-hmm. and they were a persecuted minority for a very long time. When he became a Christian, in 313, there was something called the Edict of Milan, and in 325, there's something called the Nicene Creed. They started to formulate what is the belief of the Christians. 325, they said it was, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This idea of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit came out.
Oh, and then you guys had the same text, and it didn't change. Right?
So we believe.
I think I've heard Sneeko say that, right?
Yeah. So the Quran, look, so to finish the story on this, right? we believe that Christianity had been interpolated, had been, people have come in and changed the original beliefs of Jesus. So, for example, you had a group called the Ebionites, and you can Google them, and it's open, you know, historical information, okay? The Ebionites were a first century Christian group who did not believe that Jesus was God, but they believed that he was the Messiah. So they had very similar, much more similar beliefs to Muslims than Christians do today. Christians believe the Father is equal to the Son, is equal to the Holy Spirit. All three persons are God. But there's not three gods, but one God. We would say that's a contradiction. You see, how can you have three and one at the same time? It doesn't make sense. So what happened is, Islam is a continuation from Christianity, from Jesus Christ. We believe Muhammad, who is we believe the final prophet, he was sent in Arabia, and he went when he was 40 to the cave, and the angel had an interaction with him, and he had revealed the Quran to him. The Quran, we believe, is the verbatim speech of God. And in that verbatim speech of God, you know, there are prohibitions, there are allowances, what to do, what not to do, etc., etc., etc. We also believe that this text, and there's good evidence to show that it's been preserved for the whole time. Nothing has been changed of it, unlike the Bible.
And if I asked the Christians, would they agree with that, that the Quran hasn't been changed, or would they say, because often what I find is both groups say the other is lying.
Yeah.
And very much.
Well, it depends on what Christian you ask. If you ask a fair-minded Christian who's a scholar and academic, they may say, yes, we agree with the Muslim notion that the Quran has not been changed. But if you ask a polemic or an apologist for Christianity, he'll say, no, the Quran has been changed just like the Bible. But they wouldn't deny that the Bible has been changed. So there are, for example, great scholars of Christianity like Bruce Metzger, who's come out and wrote a book about how the Bible has been changed. So that's one thing. The other thing is, so we've got the idea of God. And you've got to ask yourself an honest question. Which one makes more sense? Let me ask you, in fact, which one makes more sense? The idea of three persons, co-equal, co-eternal, or the idea of one God? If we're being honest about this.
One God or three persons? Well, I guess the way they taught it to me was that it's like, they're going to roast me because I know I'm not going to explain it right. But
no, don't worry about it.
But it's like three in one. So it's,
yeah,
like,
sure.
It's still one God, but it's just like there's it's like three in one.
Yeah, I know. But you got the Father.
Yeah, the Father.
You got the Son.
Holy Spirit,
and you got the Holy Spirit. The Father is God. The Son is God. The Holy Spirit is God. But how many gods are there?
One.
Yeah,
you would say one.
But does that make sense to you?
Kind of.
So if I add a fourth and say no, and also the disciples, for example. When do I stop?
Yeah, I could see how it would be confusing.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So when you, well, for example, if you're very sad, if you're in a traumatic situation, or if you're desperate, who'd you call out to?
God. Right?
Which one? I mean, you call out to the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, or all three at the same time?
I would just say God.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what we would say. There are verses in the Quran that say that when the people are in the sea and they're about to be capsized and so on, they'll call out to God in all earnestness and sincerity. But when they come back to the shore, then you'll see them ascribing partners with God. See, God doesn't want you to ascribe partners with him. It's in the first 10 commandments, right? God wants you to just worship him alone. You see, that's what Jews have said all over the time. That's what, you know, in the first 10 commandments you'll find in the Old Testament, etc. So that's the first thing. I'll leave it with you. I mean, this seems to be the first question, because that's one of the major differences between Islam and Christianity. The idea of God, that is one of the major. The second major difference is the prophethood of Prophet Muhammad. So is he a true prophet or not? That's the question. Because if he's a true prophet, then clearly what he's saying comes from God. If he's not a true prophet, then it's not. Then it's just a man-made text, a man from the 7th century, etc., etc. But if we owe it to ourselves to explore the issue. So, for example, we would find that the Prophet Muhammad had a pure track record. No one considered him to be a liar. No one considered him in his community to be a liar at all. They all knew him very well. He came when he was 40 years old, after living a full life amongst them, and told them that he was a prophet. And he didn't just say that frivolously. He provided evidences. So the kind of evidences that we have as Muslims, for example, is number one, the preservation. Yes, the fact that the Quran does not have any contradictions in it. That's an important thing. The theology, of course, of Islam, but also the range of other things. for example, the predictions of Islam. So Islam makes a series of predictions about the future, about how life will be in the future. Let me give you ones that are pertinent to your work. There are predictions in Islam that say that women are going to join the workforce with men.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. In the future, there's a woman will join the workforce with men. This is one prediction. Another thing you've spoken about, which is mentioned in the prediction of that prophet, is that there will be or come a time where people will engage in promiscuity, sexual intercourse outside of the marital structure, to such an extent where sexually transmitted, there will be an advent of sexually transmitted diseases. So sexually STDs right. will come about as a result of this degenerative behavior that people in the future are going to do.
So I guess my question, because, you know, I'm a believer of people are people. And so it would be, I would be very shocked if at no point in history there was like didn't King David have like 300 wives or something?
Yeah, in the Bible, yeah.
Yeah, like people were, like to me that's not a godlike, I mean, it might be true. I'm not trying to be like disrespectful.
No, but it's not,
I wouldn't put that as a godlike prediction.
Sure, one or two of them wouldn't be, but if I had 50 of the same kind right. of precision and sophistication.
What's the best one? Give me like the...
I'll give you three or four good ones. Okay. So for example, in the Quran is mentioned in chapter 30, verses 1 to 4, mm-hmm. that the Romans had been defeated. And remember, we said that the Roman Empire and the Persian Empire, they had been kind of going at it, yeah? There were two major empires, even at the time of the Prophet. And that in 3 to 9 years, that they will win, and they will win in a nearby lowland, okay? Now, this prediction has materialized. Now, you're a volleyball player, mm-hmm. for example, yeah? If I said, I don't know whatever team you play for, right? I say, look, Pearly's team is going to win, and they're going to win 5-0, and they're going to win at this time in this place.
Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty good prediction.
I'm getting this from God. Mm-hmm. Now, if the opposite happens, or if you don't win, or if there's a draw, or if this whatever it is, then it completely discredits what I'm saying.
So would the Christians come in? So if I said, hey, Christians, there's 50 things that Prophet Muhammad said. Mm-hmm. Am I allowed to say his name? I don't know.
I don't know.
I know there's some like.
Yeah, we believe that's in the Quran, though. So we believe the Quran, remember, is from God. Okay. It's mentioned in the Quran and the Hadith.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so if I said that to the Christians, would they say, yes, you're right, all the predictions were correct?
They couldn't deny this one. And I have actually presented this to multiple people.
Oh, really? So even
in,
the Christians would agree with you?
They'd have to.
Okay.
On this issue, I don't think there's any controversy whatsoever because it just happened. And there is corroborating evidence outside mm-hmm. of the Quran and Sunnah. There's Roman primary source historical information about this.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. There's a book that was written by a friend of mine called The Forbidden Prophecies by Abu Zakaria. His name is Abu Zakaria. And he lists a lot of these predictions. A lot of them. A lot of them is where Islam will spread, what countries it will spread to, mm-hmm. like Egypt, like, for example, Yemen and Jordan and present-day Palestine, etc. Like, you know, a lot of the countries that we know mm-hmm. that Islam has spread to. A lot of them have to do with the economy. Mm-hmm. For example, one of them is that interest will overwhelm the economic system mm-hmm. so that you will not be able to get away from it whatsoever. And a lot of it is to do with the infrastructure. For example, one of the famous one is that the barefooted Arabs will compete to raise tall buildings. Mm-hmm. We know now the tallest building in the world is in Dubai, in Burj Khalifa, right?
Yeah, yeah.
The third most tall building in the world is in Mecca. It's the clock tower. You know, so they're competing mm-hmm. with each other now to exactly right. that. Someone could say it was a self-fulfilling prophecy, but it couldn't be a self-fulfilling prophecy if the economic situation wasn't there, if they didn't have money to do that. You needed to have a certain amount of GDP to do that.
So